Take your Bibles and turn to the book of John, chapter 9. When Christ shall come with shout of acclamation and take me home, what joy shall fill my heart. If I were to ask you, is there somebody there waiting for you? The majority of us would say yes. But more importantly, the Lord is waiting for us. He's gone to prepare us a house. When the Bible says a mansion. Teasingly, one day I said that the mansion that is going to be there is made out of things we've sent ahead. I can't prove that categorically. But I said if it's true, then some people are going to have a phone booth. I had a woman come up afterwards and tell me, she asked if they'd be able to see through it. But John chapter 9, last week we studied the story of the man born blind being healed. And verse 1 tells us that as Jesus passed by, he saw a man that was born blind. May I say this, when Jesus is walking by, don't let him pass by, get in line with him. Every boy and girl that was born yesterday and that will be born today or that will be born tomorrow is born spiritually blind. 2 Corinthians 4:4 says, "The God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ should shine unto them." As you remember, after the disciples asked, "Who did sin that he was born blind?" Jesus responded by saying that neither this man nor his parents had sinned, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. Sometimes hard times come and we say, "Lord, why?" And sometimes it's so that we can show the glory of the Lord. It's so that we can be a testimony of God's love during the hard times. It's easy to love God when everything is going well. It's easy to love God if everyone in your home is healthy and the bills are being paid and the kids are getting good grades and if they're on a sports team, they're one of the stars. And, you know, when all is going well and you go to church and they have a 15-minute sermon, don't say amen. It's easy to love God then, but sometimes it's hard to love God when things are going rough and this guy had been born blind. Jesus anointed the man's eyes with clay and sent him to the pool of Siloam to wash. We are not told that he was embarrassed. We are not told that he said, "What do you think I am, a guinea pig?" No, he went. And he washed. The correct word is he washed. But he washed and came seeing. Do you think he was excited? Do you think he wanted to tell somebody what had happened? Verse 8. Let's stand together if you would please. John 9, beginning at verse 8. "The neighbors therefore, and they which before had seen him, that he was blind, said, 'Is not this he that sat and begged?' Some said, 'This is he.' Others said, 'He is like him.' But he said, 'I am he.' Therefore said they unto him, 'How were thine eyes opened?' He answered and said, 'A man that is called Jesus made clay and anointed mine eyes and said unto me, Go to the pool of Siloam and wash. And I went and washed and I received sight.' Then said they unto him, 'Where is he?' He said, 'I know not.' They brought to the Pharisees him that aforetime was blind. And it was the Sabbath day when Jesus made the clay and opened his eyes. Then again the Pharisees also asked him how he had received his sight. He said unto them, he put clay upon mine eyes, and I washed and do see. Therefore, said some of the Pharisees, this man is not of God, because he keepeth not the Sabbath day. Others said, how can a man that is a sinner do such miracles? And there was a division among them. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. And though the rain has come and we hope for more, we are thankful that we could gather together to sing the songs of praise and, Lord, also to hear the word of God. May all that leave this day say it was good to have been in the house of the Lord. In Jesus' name we pray and with thanksgiving, amen. Thank you, and you may be seated. The Bible says, and there was a division among them. Division, an alienation, a difference, a disagreement, a discord. I put down a few things that will cause division. The University of Michigan versus Michigan State University. North versus South. Chevy versus Ford. Klingons versus Romulans. Pepsi versus Coca-Cola versus RC Cola versus Dr. Pepper. Any peppers in here? I see a couple, four, five, six, seven, eight, nine. Wow. In Texas, they have not only Dr. Pepper, they have Mr. Pibb. How many of you have ever had a Mr. Pibb? I see hands going up everywhere. All right. Yes. How about this one? Listen carefully. Rolls towards the wall versus rolls away from the wall. Toilet paper. Yeah, rolls towards the wall, wrong, versus rolls away from the wall. If I come to your house and you've got it wrong, it won't be when I leave. Boys versus girls in the Vacation Bible School. How about Baptists versus, and I just have a blank. Religion divides. The Pharisees were divided amongst themselves in how to explain the miracle of Jesus. Some said, he can't be a good man because he hasn't kept the Sabbath. The Sabbath isn't made for God. The Sabbath is made for man. And Jesus is who? He's God. We find that division comes. There were those that said, how can he do these miracles if he's a sinner? Let's continue reading at verse 17. They say unto the blind man again, what sayest thou of him that he hath opened thine eyes? He said, he is a prophet. But the Jews did not believe concerning him that he had been blind and received his sight until they called the parents of him that had received his sight. And they asked him, saying, is this your son, who ye say was born blind? How then doth he now see? His parents answered them and said, we know that this is our son and that he was born blind. By what means he now seeth, we know not. Or who hath opened his eyes, we know not. He is of age, ask him. He shall speak for himself. These words spake his parents because they feared the Jews. For the Jews had agreed already that if any man did confess that he was Christ, he would be put out of the synagogue. The Jews here are representing the Pharisees and the religious group. And they said, if anybody says that Jesus is the Christ, what's another term for Christ? The Messiah. If they say that he is the Messiah, we will put him out of the synagogue. Therefore, said his parents, he is of age, ask him. Then again called they the man that was blind and said unto him, give God the praise, we know that this man is a sinner. He answered and said, whether he is a sinner or no, I know not. One thing I know, that whereas I was blind, now I see. One thing I know. Once I was bound in the slave camp of Satan, and now I have been purchased by the vicarious death of Christ on the cross. Do you know that today? Once I was lost in sin, now I have been redeemed by the precious blood of Christ. Do you know that you have been redeemed by the precious blood of Christ? You cannot work your way to heaven. You are not able to do that because all your righteousnesses are as filthy rags in the sight of God. Once I was going to hell, now I have a place in heaven that Jesus has gone to prepare. Has he gone to prepare a place for you? Once I was going to hell, now I have this place in heaven. Once I was hopeless, now I have hope because Jesus loves even me. A number of years ago, at the time of the mission conference, we would once a year decorate the auditorium. It would have posters between every window. Some years there would be sets of two posters. There would be posters on the walls declaring the mission goal. And the desire was to get us in the mood for the mission conference. And one of those posters said, why should anyone hear the gospel twice before everyone has heard the gospel at least once? And wouldn't you agree that would seem fair? But unfortunately, we live in a world where a vast majority of the earth's population has never, ever heard of Jesus Christ. And if they have, it's probably because they watch some American film in which they are using the Lord's name in vain. I'd like you to consider China. The thoughts come from Israel, my glory. The first known missionary to China was Elifin. In AD 635, I don't think any of you were here in 635, AD. His love for Jesus initiated a period of evangelistic activity that produced several churches. Now, he is there in China. Then in 845 AD, China banned all foreign religions. Now, I ask you the question, who was behind this banning of foreign missionaries to China? Our enemy. See, our enemy does not want the mission gospel, or the missionaries to go with the gospel message. And so we find that it was banned in, it says 845. There is no evidence of Christianity there for the next 10 centuries. How long is 10 centuries? 1,000 years. The first modern missionaries to China were Robert Morrison to the coastal areas in 1807 and Hudson Taylor, who went inland in 1853. God used their pioneer efforts to recruit about 50 missionaries to China by 1860. Let me ask you this. 50 missionaries. Is that a lot of missionaries to the land of China? It is not. It is very few. During the next 40 years, that number mushroomed to an estimated 2,500 missionaries in 1900, with an estimated 100,000 Protestant Christians. For the next 50 years, the number of missionaries grew to an estimated 700,000. That's Christians grew to an estimated 700,000 in 1950. At the end of World War II, General MacArthur said this to the American Christian people: send missionaries to China. That's what he said. That's what they need. Send missionaries to China. Then, just as Christianity was starting to flourish, all foreign missionaries were expelled in 1953 when Mao Tse-tung, rose to power. The Christian world wondered what would happen to the church in China. Could not God have kept the communists from power? Could he not have protected the missionary movement, which was beginning to produce solid results in the, for the cause of Christ? Why would he let all the sacrifices these missionaries made go to waste? But God had a plan. Today, China has more than 163 million Protestant Christians. BibleBillions.org provides logical conservative estimates on the number of Christians in China. And the last 60 years of communist domination have produced explosive church growth. BillionBibles.org says today there are more Christians in China than in America. Now you say, well, how is that possible? Well, you have to remember that China has 1.4 billion people. This is about 12%. Now we ponder in our mind, how could they have more Christians than us? They don't have open churches. No, they have home churches. And people invite them to their homes. It's estimated that 128 million Chinese attend home churches all over the country. See, we think persecution is going to end something. God says, I'm going to use persecution and my church will grow. Consider Iran. Now, the communist had their state religion, and it said this: there is what? No God. That's what communism teaches. There is no God. God has proved that otherwise. In Iran, they have no God but Allah. Your God is not Allah. Don't let anybody tell you that the God the Muslims worship and the God we worship is the same God. It is not the same God. We serve the Lord Jehovah. We don't serve Allah. Okay? And Muhammad is not our prophet. And I realize that we live in a society that says we need to be politically correct. Most times being politically correct means that you are wrong. Because it is a humanistic point of view. And may I say this, God never tells us to act like the world. God tells us to come out and be what? Separate. We are not to win the world by acting like the world. We are to be different. One of the problems is too many churches in America today think that if we act just like the world, we'll win them. We don't win them. In most cases, they think we're nuts because we're trying to act just like them. But consider Iran. It ranks ninth among the 50 worst nations in the world for religious persecution, according to the 2016 Open Doors World Watch list. This aggressively Islamic country fiercely opposes Christianity and persecutes believers in the extreme. Yet one ministry working in Iran estimates there are approximately 370,000 Muslim background believers in Iran today. That should get you excited. Hello? Doesn't that get you excited? Aren't you glad that there are believers in Iran? Don't you think you ought to be praying for the believers in Iran? The rain has made us seem a little on the sleepy side this morning, hasn't it? You know, I need to take my coat off and twirl it around. And yes. One missionary to the Muslim world writes, God is at work among Muslims. The people are so fed up with the kinds of lives they lead, they are turning to Christ even in spite of the very real possibility of persecution and death and imprisonment. And may I say this, it took me two or three times reading that thought, persecution and death and imprisonment, to wonder why it wasn't persecution, imprisonment, and death. And then I thought to myself, death is preferable to be imprisoned in Iran. Hello? Yes. Believe it or not, rather than inhibiting Christianity, God is using persecution and martyrdom to spread it. Jesus said, I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Satan is constantly coming against the church, and the church continues. God has always had a remnant. He has always had a group who have been willing to follow him faithfully. And you need to be part of the remnant. Nowhere in the Word of God does it ever say that we will be the majority. Nowhere. But we are to remain strong no matter the number. The prophet Isaiah said, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the things whereto I send it. Yes, the gospel is being beamed via satellites into Arab countries, into communistic countries, and souls are being saved and hearts are being made right. The message is going forth because gospel churches are sending forth missionaries. Division. Sin drives a wedge between man and God, creating a gap between us. God and man are divided by the wedge of sin. Your sin divided you from God. But there is a union. Jesus' death on the cross, bridging the gap, creating a way for us to come into the presence of God, forgiven. All of us one day will stand before the God of the universe. Every one of us. And he's going to look for one thing. He's not going to look at you and say, how much did you put in the offering plate? Though, Dr. Mark, we are to give with a willing heart, as you said. He's not even going to ask, how many times were you in church on a Sunday? He's not going to ask how many alms you gave during your life, how much you gave to charities. He's not going to ask you what your college education was or your high school education. He's not going to ask what country did you live in, where were you a member in church. He's not going to ask those things. He's going to look and see, are you covered by the blood? Jesus Christ is the one and only way into heaven, and he is going to look to see if you are covered by the blood. And if you're not, hell is your future home. If you would, the book of Romans, and I would ask you to turn to Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5, and we're going to begin reading at verse 8. I believe one of the greatest verses in all the Bible. You need to have it underlined. Romans 5:8, but God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ what? Died for us. Christ died for us. Much more than being now justified by what? By his blood. We are only justified by his blood. we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were sinners, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. Verse 12. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for all have sinned. And in conclusion, verse 19. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one, who is that one? Jesus, shall many be made righteous. Shall we stand together? Song of invitation is 382, softly and tenderly. Jesus Christ came for one reason and one reason only, to save sinners. Do you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior today? Do you have a close relationship with Jesus, the Creator of the world? You can. And if you know Christ as your Savior, are you walking close with him? Is there enough evidence to condemn you for being a Christian? If not, maybe you'd like to get some things taken care of today. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the salvation that we have through Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord, for your love, for your grace, for your mercy and second chances. We pray for souls today. And we ask this in Jesus' name and with thanksgiving. Amen.